In Newcastle, Pennsylvania, I told that parable, that legend of the conference in hell, where Beelzebub called all his salesmen together. They had a conference every 7 years, and now they came and they told what they had done on earth. One told how he had set fire to a church, and everybody was burned and roasted to cinders. And the devil said, "Don't do us any good, they're all gone to heaven." Another one told how he had caused a ship full of missionaries to be cracked up and all were drowned. He said, "Don't do us any good, they're all in heaven." And then he saw a bow-legged, green-eyed imp in the back. He said, "Hey, you, Holy Fairness, I haven't seen you in 7 years. Where have you been hanging around?" He spat on his hands and he rubbed his hands and he said, "Well, Majesty, I worked 7 years, but I think I've done a good job." "Now, what did you do?" "Why," he said, "I came across a church, a Pentecostal church, that had a continuous revival. Continuous. People were being saved and baptized with the Holy Ghost, and sick were healed all the time, and there was such a white-heated love prevalent among the members." And he said, "I looked for a long time to find the secret of that revival, and I found it. There was an old saint, shut himself in his cottage, and he prayed all the time, day and night. He just kept praying all the time." I said, "Ah, there it is." He said, "It took me 7 years to break that revival, but I succeeded." "How'd you do it?" "Well," he went to that saint and he began to praise him and tell him what a wonderful saint he was. Visited him, he said, "My, there isn't another man in the world that prays like you. You're really another Elijah, you know that? Elijah called fire down from heaven. My goodness, won't you teach me how to pray? I'd like to know something about such a successful prayer life like you are leading. And in fact, I know that you are the secret of that revival. Just think what would happen in the world if every church had someone praying like that." And so on. He belabored him like that for a long time. And finally, the saint began to listen when he said, "You know, you ought to visit that meeting. You ought to see what's going on. You ought to see how God's answering your prayers. And you ought to let the people know how you pray." Well, it took a long, long time, but little by little, this man became famous among the saints. They invited him to their dinners. And like Brother Salter says, the best way to kill a revival is take the evangelist out and stuff him. And so that's what they did with this prayer warrior. And finally, didn't pray anymore. And he says, "There's no revival there anymore. Now they're fighting among themselves. Nobody gets saved. Nobody's baptized with the Holy Ghost." Well, I told that story, and when I was through, the preacher's wife got up. She wanted to testify, and she sobbed a long time. She couldn't get a word out, Mrs. Wendt. And finally she said, "Folks, please pray for me. I am that saint." She said, "When I got my baptism, I spent 6 hours every day praying. Every day," she said, "I spent 6 hours alone with God praying." I know what happened in answer to her prayer. Her husband was pastor of an evangelical church, and she prayed that whole church out into Pentecost. And she said, "When I spent 6 hours praying, my housework was done better than ever." She said, "I don't know how I got the strength, but I got plenty strength to do my housework." But she said, like that saint, "I lost that fire. And today," she says, "I'm doing well if I can put in 1 hour a day." She said, "Please pray for me." Well, I tell you, prayer is such an important John, that all hell is pitted against prayer. Never mind your preaching. Many preachers go to hell because they've become successful preachers. And they're lifted up with pride and the devil gets in.